1 and 2. By the way, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Hopefully you are feeling good and spry and awake. If not, coffee awaits you next door. Amen. How many are coffee drinkers? That is bizarre to have so many coffee drinkers in one class. Amen. Normally it's about 50-50. You've got coffee drinkers, then you have tea drinkers, and then you've got those that are very, very, very health conscious that don't drink anything but water. Amen. That would not be me. All right. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to quote verses 1 and 2. These are two memory verses that we have. And of course, we are in lesson number 2. Here, we'll say the verse together, then quote it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here we go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen. Father, bless now in our service this morning as we talk about the transformation process. Lord, I pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us, Lord, and that your glory would shine through. We're so thankful that we have a God that watches over us, Lord. Now lead in our discussion today and teach us more truths from your word that we need to know and be aware of. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. We are on lesson number 2. And we gave you the introduction last week, and that is on which page in your book? 14. Page 14 in your book. All right, so if you could flip over to page 14. And the introduction talked about the process of transformation. Are we all changing even right now?
Yes.
How many of you brush your hair and you find a hair loss? We're changing. Hair comes out and hair grows back in for most of y'all. Most of us. Amen. I do have hair. It does come up, but I cut it before it gets to be too long because it would be tragic if it grew out the way it would look. Amen. So we are changing and we understand that. And God wants to change us. By the way, the moment you got saved, did God begin to change you?
Yes.
Some slow, some fast. But the moment you got saved, God began to change you. Has anyone ever done any remodeling at all? Remodeling is a slow process, isn't it? Don't you wish you could just snap your finger and everything was remodeled right away?
Yeah.
Amen. How many was here when we remodeled this church building? Remember the problems that we had to go through with this church? There were holes at the bottom of the doors. There were wires throughout the ceiling that were burnt because extension cords were all throughout the top to fuel the modulars that were out back. There was a shoddy looking fence around here that we had to tear down. There was gravel all around the building filled with nails, and all of us started getting flats. Remember that? Amen. Who else remembers something that was devastating? Yes, Jerry.
Well, all the tiles and all the grease that
were
in the kitchen.
Oh, man. I remember that. I got some pictures. I think I have to bring some pictures next week so y'all can see what we're talking about. It was terrible. I remember Miss Shirley, when she came in here, we had a service in here before we had it, and Miss Shirley's famous words, "Pastor, it's not near as bad in here as you said it was," and the other church was right there. And I'm thinking, oh, you don't say that out loud. You can't say that. She said, "Oh, Pastor, it's not near as bad as you said." I'm thinking, it was, amen. Ladies, how many ladies went in the kitchen before we renovated it? Okay, it was thick grease on the wall. Brother Neil, you know about the kilns, right? It's supposed to seal stuff off. It took us like 4 coats in there. As soon as we put a coat on, the grease bled right through. Another coat bled right through. Another coat, it bled right through. That's how much. And we cleaned the walls first with bleach and ammonia and all that beforehand. They had outdoor woks that they had in the kitchen with some of those propane tanks that they cook with. And I'm talking huge woks. And grease was everywhere. Andrea?
Oh, my God.
was a gum factory, amen. I think everybody in the church that chewed gum put their gum up underneath the pews, amen. They're what? I haven't checked lately, but I don't want to either, amen. Might be still some left, amen.
And then we had to redo all the doors.
Yes, the doors were terrible, busted, broken. Many of the metal doors actually had holes cut in about that big, brother, where they had extension cords going outside to modulars to give them electricity. Hence, that's why the extension cords throughout the ceilings were burnt, and they actually had a fire here once as well. Anybody else remember something in the renovation process? How many remember how long it took? Hold those fingers up. We purchased the building in July of 2007. Anybody remember when we moved in? 2009. 2 years worth of work. It took that long. It took that long. I mean, it was renovation. Yes, ma'am.
I also remember us getting down on our hands and knees and scraping the floor so we could get more tile in.
I remember that well. The carpet had to be replaced in here. All the tile had to be replaced out there. All the lights had to be changed out. They had garage lights in here, brother. The kind that are not recessed. They hang down like you have in your garage. And none of them were covered. They were here. And there was only like one string down the middle. And it was dark in here. And I don't like darkness. Amen. There were no ceiling fans in here. I mean, even in here, it smelled like, what's that?
Grease.
Amen. It smelled like somebody had just cooked it. Yeah, exactly. In here recently, and the tile was torn up in the fellowship hall. It was a nightmare. And how many remember what it looked like out back here? We had three, what do you call those things? Trailers out there, a broken down swing set back there. So we had to drag all that out. And it was terrible. Had to paint the bricks, that's right, because the bricks were all messed up. Had to change out the ceiling tiles because they were all messed up. It was a nightmare. Anybody that knows what it looked like at first knows that renovating is a tough job. When we get saved, guess what God's got to do? Renovate.
Renovate.
God is trying to change us from the inside out. That's what transformation is all about. Amen. By the way, I actually talked to somebody a couple weeks ago. No, about last month. Remember that guy that came up to me at the table at Golden Corral? He used to go to this church. He said, I saw the church. He said, man, what did you guys do? He said, I was trying to get them to do something like that a long time ago. He said, it looked like night and day. I said, we couldn't move in it the way it was, man. It was terrible. Amen. And he was raving about the process that it took. Now, if I bring some pictures next week, you know what I'm talking about because it was bad. Transformation is just like that. It's changing us from the inside out. And that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about lesson number two, the process of transformation. Of course, we've already looked at lesson number one. And that was total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. Now we're into this one, transformation, the process of it. And so Roman numeral one in your book is going to be the transformation is a process, is a process. And it has here at the top, ask the class if they've ever renovated a room in their house or renovated something in their home, how did the process go? Number one, it oftentimes can be expensive. Guess what it took to purchase you and I? The blood of Jesus Christ. It took that to purchase us. Now, God is trying to renovate us. Guess what the renovation process normally includes? What do you say, Brother Hall? The blood? The blood. That's ongoing cleansing, yes? Changing of our hearts and our minds. So we have to rethink this thing. Amen. And God wants to help us to rethink this. And how long does the transformation process normally take? Forever until you die. Amen. Do we ever get there yet? You say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we don't get there yet. Amen. It is a process. Amen. We're immediately transformed on the inside once we get saved, but there's a process called sanctification that goes on, or transformation throughout our lives. And by the way, unlike our physical growth, I stopped growing tall a long time ago. Okay. Now I'm still growing out and I'm still growing, but I'm not growing taller. And so with this transformation process, we're still going to grow. We're always in the process of being transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, go to Romans chapter 28. Go back just a little bit and notice what you find here. Brother Neil read over these a couple weeks ago, Romans 8 and 28 and 29. Brother Neil, read 28 and 29 for me. Romans 8, 28 and 29.
We know that all things work together for good of them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he has foreknown, he also has predestinated to be called into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of all and more than his
own. Amen. And then read verse 30 as well.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified.
Amen. So God wants to change us, and it's according to the will of God. And all things that he uses is to help change us. We know that all things work together for good. Amen. By the way, show of hands again. How many have done renovation before? Heidi, how long did your renovation take? Year and a half? Brother Camper, how long did it take your renovation?
6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months. Who else did renovation? How long did it take yours? Amen. Amen. 3 months. Anybody else did renovation? How long did it take? Somebody else? Amen. Ours took 2 years here, Brother Neil.
6 months.
Amen. Amen. So it all depends on the extent of what you want to do with your renovation. It also depends on the cost. And do you have the labor and the materials to get it done? Okay. And so all that goes into this process. Are we all going to be transformed at the same rate?
No, we're not.
Some may be faster. Yeah. Some may be slower. What determines our transformation rate? Jerry?
Reception of our heart.
Okay, that plays a part in it. What else determines our transformation rate, or how fast we are transformed? What determines that? Talking about reception of the heart, yes? How much we decide to yield, amen? That's a factor in it as well, amen? What else? Jerry? How much we love God, that's got something to do with it, amen? Anything else? Transformation. Pretty much how you give into the transformation and what you give to the transformation process. That all goes together. Amen. Carl, thank you for picking up my wife. I appreciate that. Amen. You and Miss Beth. And so let me read something to you, because we got to recognize that the process that we are going through, God is going to finish it sooner or later. And notice what it says here. It is important to exercise patience toward brothers and sisters in Christ during transformation. Why? Why is it important to exercise patience toward brothers and sisters during transformation? Okay, so they don't fall back, Jerry?
Well, because they're not going to be at the same rate where we think they should be.
They may not be at the same rate. Amen, that's true. Andrea? We wouldn't want to be a stumbling block. That's true. What else? Tim? Amen. Amen. That is true. We may have been right there where they're at. Yes, sir. Some would. You're not supposed to. Not supposed to yell at a newborn babe. That's true. Yes, ma'am.
Also, we may not be where we think we ought to be either. So we can't really judge them.
And if we're judging, we're not where we think we are.
Right.
Amen. All right. Now, go on here. It says, why is it important to exercise patience towards a brother and sister in Christ? God works in each of us in a unique way and in his perfect timing, not ours. We are all a work in progress and need to remember that when we interact with others. And so there are three points they're going to give here, A, B, and C, when you deal with this transformation process, all right? And A, number one, it says this, considering the following tips for avoiding discouragement as you go through the process of transformation. We don't want to get discouraged. By the way, I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but as we went through this building process, I got really discouraged on several occasions. We had to go down and fight with the city, Brother Neil. I don't know if you had city problems, but we had to get all these codes and pass all these inspections and stuff that didn't matter. They wanted us to plant all these trees close to the building. And guess what? They began to grow into the building. And I thought, that's why I didn't want to plant them in the first place. Then guess who had to pay to get them cut down? We did. Yes, they just followed my thinking and said, can we at least put it away from the building? No, it's got to be right up against the building. That's going to grow in the foundation and all these kids. Exactly. So there were several things that we had to fight against, and I got discouraged. I did. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, look, every time I turn around, y'all come up with a different code, and with a different code, it has a different cost. And the cost kept escalating. And the more codes, the more cost, the more money we didn't have to put in it. Yes, exactly. The government had to. Had to go down and talk to him. Amen. So it says, consider these things to avoid discouragement as you go through transformation. A is don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. And by the way, if you had to give a definition for quit, what would you say? Define quit. Stopping, give up, backsliding. What else? Quit. Don't ever quit. What's another definition of quit? Give up. Okay. The little definition means to leave, to stop doing, to stop working, to give up. Don't ever quit. To me, it means to be fed up and to give up.
Yes.
I quit one job in my life, only one job, and that was at Red Lobster. You know why I quit? I was fed up. I was the only one working, and they wouldn't hire anybody else. And I said, look, you guys are working me too hard. You need to get somebody else. They didn't pay me overtime. They didn't pay me for no time, it seemed like. Amen. And I said, you guys need to do something about this because you're working me too hard. I said, all this work is meant for four people, and you guys only hired one. I said, now we have three other slots here. Hire those guys. They said, well, you're doing such a good job. Well, you better pay me for the three others that I'm doing. Amen. And it came down to her, and I just said, look, I got fed up one day. I came out, and I looked at all the work I had to do. And I said, that's it. I quit. I went to the manager. I said, look, I quit. I'm gone. As I was walking out, the manager was running behind trying to do my work for me. I felt so bad. But you know what happened? I was fed up. I was fed up. Sometimes we're going to want to quit.
Yes, sir.
But we should never quit. By the way, can we quit the Christian life?
Yes, we can, Pastor.
Can you quit on God?
Yes.
Can you quit on the transformation process?
I don't think so.
God has his ways. Did Peter quit and say he's going fishing? Did he stay quit?
No, he did not.
What did God do? He went fishing. What did he catch?
Nothing.
Nothing. God is going to transform you one way or another, with or without your help. Amen. He's going to send you through things. He's going to send people your way. What about Jonah? Did Jonah quit? He tried. Jonah said, I'm not going. He jumped in the boat. What did God do? God said, no, overboard. Put him in a whale. Did Elijah say he quit? He did. But he worked about two more years after he quit.
Yes, sir, he did.
He anointed Elisha, and he still was working. Amen. And so the Bible is filled with people that said, I want to quit. But God's going to fulfill his purpose through your life with or without your help, sooner or later. Amen. Peter's a good example. Jonah's a good example. Elijah. But by the way, Moses. Didn't Moses say, Lord, if you're gonna do this, I quit. Kill me. And God went and got him 70 people to help him out. Sometimes God will send you people to help you with your transformation. Sometimes he just sends you some trials and tribulations.
Yes, he does. Yes,
Because he wants to get you transformed one way or another. If you don't cooperate with him, he will override your plans. Amen. That's just the way God does things. Amen. And he wants to do something. Amen. So to be fed up, to give up, to stop doing, to leave means to quit. Amen. And we probably have been surrounded by people who've been walking with the Lord. And, you know, we look at them and we say, man, look at how they're growing. And man, I'm not growing because of my sin or because of my stubbornness. Don't quit. Don't look at somebody else. Amen. That will always wear you down. Amen. By the way, when it comes to this transformation process, go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I bought my new Bible so I can go there.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
Philippians. Because God does want to transform you into the image of Christ's likeness, and he will do it with or without your help. Now, he'd much rather have your help. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. And notice what it says there, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. When does that begin? At salvation. He's begun a good work in you. Then notice this, will do what? Will perform it. Will perform. Notice that. He which hath begun a good work in you will what? Will perform it until when? Till the day of Jesus Christ. So if God has saved you and he wants to transform you starting in your heart, he is going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue to do it. Now, what if you don't want to help him? Do you think God really needs your help?
No, he doesn't.
God is God. He made the stars. He made the moon. He doesn't need your help to transform you. Amen. And so he will perform it one way or another. What does he often use, or what can he use?
Well, if you're trying to work against him, he gets some trials and tribulations.
You're working against him, he can use your trials and tribulations. Sometimes if you're working with him, he can still use trials and tribulations. What else can God use to help transform us? Yes, ma'am?
Other people to guide us.
How about encouragers? We need encouragement. How about exhorters? We need exhortation. How about those people that just rub you the wrong way? We need those too. How about the people that just get up in your face? We need people like that. You know, some of the best people that I have responded to are people that got up in my face. I was telling the boys about my grade school coach and some of the stuff that he used to say to us. I mean, he was mean as nails. But I told him what? I said, you know what? He would get out there and at halftime, he would chew us out so bad. We didn't even want to lose that game. Because we didn't want to know what was going to happen after we had to face him. So we go out there and we feared that team more than we feared the coach more than we feared that team. And so we go out there, we'd annihilate them. We'd come back and say, "How we do, coach? Well, man, that's better." Like, man, we annihilated them. What are you trying to say? But we had such a fear of him. And God sometimes will send you people that will get up in your face because he knows you'll respond to that personality or that mentality. Some folks need that. Amen. By the way, are there some Christians like that, that you just got to get up in their face? Are there others that if you get up in your face, it's counterproductive? Amen. You get up in their face. I'm not going back there anymore. Some folks can't deal with that. But then there are others that won't be able to respond unless you do that. And then there are those that are in between. They need some encouragement. They need some up in your face. Amen. There are very few that has one set mentality on how to get them to go. Amen. Because we all need a fire lit under us sooner or later. Amen. If that were not true, we would not have preaching. Amen. So he says that being confident is the very thing that he which had begun a good work in you, God did it at salvation. He's trying to transform us. He will perform it. So don't quit because God wants your cooperation. Now, he will do it without you, but he wants your cooperation. So we should never, ever quit because he will perform it. By the way, when it came down to Job, who did God send Job? Three friends that were miserable comforters. They were friends. You know, did they try? They tried their best. They were wrong, but But they tried their best. Did the last guy try his best? He did.
Yes, sir.
But God only knew what was going on and what was being utilized to transform Job. By the way, sometimes only God will know what it takes to get you to go. And sometimes the people that he's using won't even know they're being used of God to get you to go. Amen. And so don't ever quit. Amen. Don't allow Satan to cause you to doubt God's care for you and his interest in your spiritual growth, because God does want you to grow. Which brings us to our next point here, which is B. Don't ever be satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied. Now, as we're dealing with that, let me give you some caution here. Can we begin to compare ourselves? Yes, hence the verse in your book here. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because you can look at another brother or sister and you can be kind of satisfied with where you're at. You can say, man, I've arrived, amen. 2 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 10, verse 12. That's one of your verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number 12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. In other words, he said, we don't want to put ourselves in this company or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. He said, we don't want to compare ourselves with these people that are patting themselves on the back saying, well, we did a good job. He says, but they measuring themselves by themselves, those are the patter on the backers, and comparing themselves among themselves, they're looking at each other's growth. He says, among themselves are not what? Are not wise. Why is it not a good idea to compare yourself with somebody else's spiritual growth? Sarah?
Well, sometimes people have, it's on the outside they're spiritually, but they may not really be that spiritual.
Amen. Some people may be on the outside only, not the inside. What is God concerned about? The heart. Mm-hmm. Why is there another reason why we shouldn't compare ourselves by ourselves? Brother Neil? Oh, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
Oh, it's the same reason, like before, when we're supposed to be patient with the new Christian. Mm-hmm. We all grow at different rates. We can't compare ourselves, but we're all growing at different rates.
Exactly. We grow at a different rate. Brother Neil, you can say something as well?
Yes, sir. When you compare yourself to somebody else, it's right or wrong. If you think you're superior, it's going to be pride.
That is one of the biggest nemesis, pride. If you haven't arrived to my level, what do I think? I'm better than you. And now if I look to you and you seem to be superior to me in your knowledge, what do I think?
I'm a nobody. God doesn't care about me. I can't even spell God.
No. Everybody has their own rate that they grow at. Who should we be looking at? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what should we be looking at? His word and his will for our lives. Don't look at somebody else, because God's got a totally different plan for them than he has for you. Amen. By the way, I made that mistake when we first got saved. My wife and I got saved on the same day. And there was another guy that got baptized the same day we got baptized. And we looked at him and thought, what's wrong with him? Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's like, well, what is wrong with him? Yep. Maybe nothing was wrong with him. Maybe that's God's plan for his life. But we looked and said, look, you know, we're coming along here. We're growing and we're going and we're doing things. And where are you? You're a slug. You're a snail. You know what set in? Pride.
Pride.
Now, my wife probably didn't think that way, but I did, man to man. I'm like, look, I'm a man. You're a man. Why can't you do what I'm doing? Maybe it's not meant for him to do what I'm doing.
Yes, sir.
Ever think about that? Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so it can set in. He says, comparing ourselves by ourselves. He said, that's not wise at all. And by the way, do we do it? Let's just be honest. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
But we shouldn't. We shouldn't. And so as you look at this idea of not quitting and not being satisfied, satisfaction often sets in when we look at someone else and we're not where they're at. But we fail to realize where God wants us to be. And so I can get a little nonchalant because at least I surpassed him, or at least I surpassed her, or at least I've got this under my belt. Well, you know, do you have under your belt what God wants you to have under your belt? That's the key. And so comparing themselves, they're not wise. Don't quit before you see God's transforming work in your life. I remember a day when our brother Duffy was going through discipleship. And I remember Brother Duffy's first words as we started. I said, "Brother, I got a memory verse for you." He said, "I can't memorize scripture." One of the first words, "I can't memorize scripture." He's one of the best memorizers we have with scripture.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But one of his first things was, he was ready to quit before he got started.
Yes, sir.
"I can't memorize scripture. I could never do that." I said, "Brother, let's just take it one step at a time." Yep. And guess what? He got to memorizing scripture. Got good to him. Amen.
Yes, he did.
And God started working in his life. Amen. So don't quit before you begin to see God working in your life. Amen. We don't want to compare ourselves. We don't want to look at our inconsistencies, but look at God's consistency and his care for us because he loves us. Amen. So don't be satisfied. The satisfaction comes when we start looking at each other. By the way, as soon as I think I know more than what I do know, God showed me that I don't know what I thought I knew. When my wife and I had children after 20 years of waiting, we thought we knew it all. We have arrived. We are the parents. We need to be on Parenting Incorporated. Amen. Got our own magazine. And then God just showed us how much that we didn't know when the kids came. And the things they started doing and how we responded to those things. You know, we read all these books, never raise your voice or never do this. We find out, stop that! You're not supposed to raise your voice. Well, they made me. Well, there you go. What happens? As soon as I think I know some things, God shows me what I don't know. Amen. And by the way, you know, we get satisfied sometimes when we begin to look at others. Well, I wouldn't parent like them. Well, you're not parenting like God. Well, I wouldn't quit if I were them. Well, you haven't started where God wants you to be. And so we can't quit. We don't want to get satisfied. Amen. And we don't want to get to that point. Notice 2 Peter 3:18. Let's go over there. It should be in your books there as well. And matter of fact, you're already in Philippians. No, you're not in Philippians. Right next to it. Yeah, let's go to Philippians first. That's in your book as well. Philippians. Because this transformation process is going to take a while. Philippians chapter 3, let's go there first and see what Paul said, and then we'll go to Peter. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Notice what Paul says here. Now, was Paul one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament? Yes, he was. One of the greatest ones. But notice what Paul says about his own life here in verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained. He said, I didn't reach the mark yet.
Right.
Either were already perfect. He said, I'm not mature. I'm not complete. I'm not whole. But I follow after. He said, I'm going after Christ. If that I may be apprehended, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm trying to give God what God's trying to get from me. Amen. I want to be more like him. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the mark. He said, but this one thing I do, notice this, forgetting those things which are behind. Should we be pleased with accomplishments that God has allowed us to attain? Yes. But can I live off of yesterday's accomplishments today? Oftentimes, no. No. I've got to get today what God has for me today. Yesterday is gone. It's in the past. Tomorrow is in the future. I only have today. And so Paul said, hey, look, I count not myself to apprehend it. There's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Of course, he's talking about his old life and his old ways. He said, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's the new life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to press toward this mark. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's Christ likeness. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I've not made it yet. I'm still on my way. By the way, none of us have arrived yet. The moment we arrive will be when we get to heaven.
Yes.
Amen. I go over to 2 Peter 3:18. So we don't want to be a quitter. We don't want to get satisfied. 2 Peter 3:18. Of course, many of us can quote this. And the Bible says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God wants us to grow in his grace. Grace is, I like to say, it's God's ability to do God's will.
Yes, sir.
Grow in grace. Grow in God's ability to do God's will. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more you learn about Jesus Christ, the more you will see how God wants to transform you.
Yes.
Amen. Why? Because you look at Jesus and you see how you're not. And you see how God wants you to be. Don't look at someone else. Someone else may not be growing at your rate or your speed. Amen. Obviously, they're not. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And give you this last one, C. And this is probably one of the most important. A is don't ever quit. B is don't ever be satisfied. And most importantly, C, don't ever be overwhelmed. Don't ever be overwhelmed. Don't quit when life seems overwhelming. Don't ever be overwhelmed. I looked up a definition for overwhelmed. It means this, to affect very strongly. It means to cause someone to have too many things to deal with. It means to defeat completely. Overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed. To affect very strongly, to cause someone to have too many things to deal with, to defeat completely. Will God ever give us too many things to deal with? No. Will God ever put us in a position, in a situation to defeat us completely? No, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So why do we get defeated then? And why do we seem to have too many things to deal with? Not used to Christ's strength, that could be true. What else? Why do I get to that point where I seem like I got too many things to deal with, or it seems like I'm being defeated over and over again? What can be the problem, Jerry? Prioritize, take some things out, Brother Derek. Sometimes lack of planning, okay? Now, does the Bible say, Camper? Amen, that's true as well. Does the Bible say I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Yes. Does God want us to do all things? So what's the key? All the things that God wants me to do. If I do all the things that he wants me to do, I won't get defeated completely. I won't get overwhelmed by so many things because I'm only doing that which he has me to do. Now, of course, you have to, you know, factor in sin. Sin can defeat you. Amen. And there's some other factors as well. But if I'm doing those things that God would have me to do, guess what? I'm in a win-win situation. God is trying to transform me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We don't want to ever get to the point where we're overwhelmed. I love something that Dr. Chappell always says throughout the Lancaster Conference. He will say something to this effect. Now, look, you're getting a lot of information from this meeting. Don't try to go home and implement it all at once. What happens when you do that? You get overwhelmed. Yes, sir. What happens when you do that? You maybe go against leadership. It may not be something that your church can do at this point, but you say, well, I want to run. Then you get overwhelmed because it doesn't go right. Yes, or you get defeated because that's not what the church is doing right now. And you get defeated. He always says, take it back, talk to your pastor, pray about it. Don't try to make all these changes all at once. By the way, if God changed you all at once, most of us would be insane.
Yes, sir.
If he saved you today and changed you right at that moment to be what he wanted you to be instantly, you would go insane. Why? Transformation is a process. They don't even do your house that quick. Amen. They have these teams that they come in there on, you know, where they do this little house makeover on TV and they show it going up real quick. It doesn't go up as quickly as you think.
No, it doesn't.
They take that in days to put it in one segment of an hour. Amen. And so when you look at this, don't ever get to the point where we're overwhelmed and we are doing more than what God would have us do. By the way, raising up our children starts with what? Changing diapers.
Yeah.
Potty training, teaching them how to eat, teething, getting through all that process. Amen. Cynthia's got her hands full right now, going through all those things we're talking about. Amen. It's easy, Cynthia, to look at little Junior there and then look at Kaylee and say, why don't you be like Kaylee? It's an impossibility. The Kaylee, did I say it right? Kaylee. You know, is it fair to compare Junior to Kaylee, who's 10? Or how old is she? Eight. Is it fair to compare an 8-year-old to a 10-year-old? I mean, an 8-year-old to a 6-week-old? Is that fair? But do we do it all the time? We do it all the time.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Well, you're not where I think you should be. You're not where you should be. It takes time. So don't ever be overwhelmed. There will be times in the Christian life that the process of transformation will be challenging and draining. Trials are going to come. Satan's going to beat against us to go back. But we don't want to quit. We don't want to become satisfied, and we don't want to get overwhelmed. Trials are going to come, but God promised that his strength would be all that we need. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Amen. We do. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. And sometimes it does get difficult. Yes, Ms. Faye? Amen, amen. And there are going to be times when that's going to happen. Yep. I know sometimes I look at my to-do list, and I think, how in the world am I going to get all this done? And I just have to say, amen, Lord. I mean, help me to prioritize, Lord, to do what you want me to do today. And what you don't want me to do today, we'll do it some other time.
Yes, sir.
And you just have to focus on that. Now, is it easier said than done? Yes, because I got 10 people crying at me, and I got one me. And guess what? Somebody's got to go second. Somebody's got to go third. Somebody's got to go fourth and on down the line. You say, well, how do you decipher that? How do you do that? God normally dictates in your heart and shows you what is the need in your life. But there are going to be times when we're going to want to quit. There are going to be times when we are going to get satisfied. And there are going to be times when we're going to say, look, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed. What do we got to do? Continue to trust in the Lord. Good verse that Ms. Faye gave. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But God didn't intend for me to do all things. God, what is it that you want me to do? I'll leave you with the memory verse, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. And I want you to notice that grow in grace. It doesn't tell you to grow in somebody else's footsteps. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more you get to know Jesus Christ, the better off you and I will be. To him be glory both now and ever. We don't want to compare ourselves. We want to make sure that we're growing in the grace that God has for us. 2 Peter 3:18 is going to be our verse for this week. I want you to meditate on that. But do realize that even if you call yourself quitting, even if you call yourself being satisfied, even if you are overwhelmed, God has a way to help you. And he loves you, and that's why he will help you. And that's why he will send you a motivator. He will send you a consoler. He will send you an exhorter. He will send you that person that may have to get up in your face. He will do those things to help you. Why? It's his desire to help us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his desire. And he had different means to do so. Amen. So 2 Peter 3:18 is going to be our memory verse. Amen. Don't quit. Don't get satisfied. Don't get overwhelmed. When it does, turn to the Lord. Father, thank you for your time that you have given to us today. Lord, we know that we may be in situations that we do want to quit. We may be satisfied with where we're at, spiritually speaking, and we may, Lord, be at a point where we're overwhelmed. But Lord, help us to see you through it all and what you're trying to do in our transformation process and how you want to receive the honor and the glory from our lives. Help us this week as we meditate on our verse, 2 Peter 3:18. Thank you for loving us. A blessed refreshment hour that we have now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Don't